Blog Talk Radio.
Is today's theme on Blog Talk Radio and how to be comfortable in your own shoes. I'm Lauren Leibowitz, and it's Thursday, June 17th, and once again we are coming to you live from Los Angeles, as I do every Thursday at 3 p.m. Pacific time. I think I'm just glued to my seat here every Thursday at 3, which is a beautiful thing. Thank you all so much for joining us today, and we love to hear from you, so please call in to listen live or ask questions at 347-857-2710. Those magical 10 digits are, again, 347-857-2710, and we are here live until 3:45 p.m. Pacific time, just 15 minutes shy of cocktail hour. And also, this is exciting news for How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. You can now take me and the show with you on your iPod. So go to iTunes and pick a show of your choice, and let's do something fun together. Well, my guest today has made several visits to the show, and the response from you, my loyal listeners, has been so overwhelming that we have her back again today. Dr. Davis K. Brimberg is a clinical psychologist and has taught at Pepperdine University, UCLA David Geffen School of Medicine, and Harvard University. She specializes in helping performers achieve their potential and has worked with actors, public speakers, athletes, and business professionals. And Dr. Brimberg is also going to talk about her involvement with the big cats that I mentioned a little bit in the intro, but we will discuss that a little bit later in the show. So please welcome back to the show Dr. Davis K. Brimberg. Hello, Davis.
Hi, Lauren. Thank you so much for having me on your show today.
My pleasure. It's my pleasure to have you, have the cats, have it all. We're
right
here. You know, it's going to be a wild 45 minutes.
That's right. Let's get wild.
Let's get wild. Yeah. You know, the last time you were on, you were doing your teleseminar that was exclusively for men called Hey Jane, I'm Dick, Getting Past the Small Stuff. I just love that title. And I wanted to find out, how did that go for you?
It was fantastic. I think the participants really got a lot out of it. The feedback was very, very positive, and I also loved it. It was a lot of fun. It was fun for me as well as helpful for the clients. So it was great.
Well, congratulations. Are you planning on doing something for women of the same?
I would love to do something for women, and in fact, more than likely we'll be doing that within a couple of months. Right now, though, I've been focused on putting together a charity event for Cat Haven.
And that's where the big cats come in.
That's right. That's where the big cats come in. So I work as a clinical psychologist, and I see clients in two offices in Los Angeles. But recently, I've been really following up in my passion for wildlife, and specifically for cats, and I've been working as a volunteer fundraiser for Cat Haven.
So tell us about this. There's a special event that you're participating in and helping to put together on Sunday, June 27th, from 2 to 6 p.m. here in Los Angeles at a private home. So tell us more about the event.
Well, it's called Let's Tango for Cat Haven's Coolest Cats. And the reason why it's called Let's Tango is because Tango, the cheetah, will be there. Tango is a cheetah at Cat Haven who has been raised since birth to interact with people. Now, at the party, the guests will not be touching him. They won't but they will get very close to him in a safe distance. He'll be on a leash. He will also be with two of the animal specialists with him the whole time. And but Tango has been trained since birth, and he's called a teaching ambassador. And, well, basically, he was...
Why don't you tell our listeners that Cat Haven, it's a innovative park dedicated to the preservation of wild cats. So they're not... I don't want people to be confused that it's not a rescue. They don't rescue cats,
yes,
per se.
Yes, it's quite different, actually. Cat Haven is... it's 3.5 hours north of Los Angeles, which is nice because it's still in striking distance to L.A., and it's just outside of the Sequoias, so it has this gorgeous natural setting. But Cat Haven's mission is quite different than a lot of organizations. Its focus is not only on preserving the various beautiful species of wild cats, but it's also about helping conservationists in the wild in different parts of the planet. So helping conservationists in Africa, for example, as well as conservationists all the way in South America. But Tango was born in a breeding center in Africa, and he spent the first year of his life getting trained every day constantly of being able to interact with people. And after that first year, Tango then went to Cat Haven, where he received more training, and now he's gotten to the point where he's called a teaching ambassador. And what that means is that he goes to schools, he does television, he does private events, and he basically acts as a teacher about not only cheetah preservation, but the importance of wildlife preservation in general.
That's wonderful. Now, this event, is it conducive for young children to attend? Is that?
Absolutely. It's very much a family-friendly event. There will be Tango there. Like I said, he will be on a leash. The guests will not be touching him, but they can get close to him. My only suggestion is that kids, that they be close to their parents or their guardians, whomever they are with that day, so that the parents and the children can both feel safer about that. And there will also be a bobcat there. Her name is Whirlpool. And Whirlpool will also be on a leash, and she will also constantly be with the animal specialists, so she will not be roaming around freely. No,
that's
free roaming.
You know, wild bobcat rolling around, sniffing at people.
You know, what's interesting is that even though the mission of Cat Haven is not really about rescue, there are two cats at Cat Haven that were rescued, and Whirlpool is one of them. Whirlpool and her sister Maytag, they actually come from Arizona. And
did they have to show ID before they came in?
Yeah, I guess there are some immigration issues as well.
Nothing like strange cats in another state, heavens.
So it's really funny. So what happened was that their mother was shot and killed by a hunter when they were so young that their eyes were not even open. And when Fish and Game discovered them, they found that they were inside a washing machine. The mother, before she had died, had built this den for herself and her family, and it was inside this abandoned washing machine. And that's how they got the names Whirlpool and Maytag. And
so that's cute.
Yes. And so then they were taken in by some extraordinarily lovely woman in Arizona who bottle-fed them for the first couple of weeks. And then the animals were taken to Cat Haven where they continued to be bottle-fed. And now they've lived there happily ever after ever since. But these were two cats who had absolutely no chance of being able to survive in the wild on their own.
That's wonderful. And I know you can adopt a cat and sponsor a cat. Maybe that's the better phrase.
Yes. You can absolutely adopt a cat. Now, this is, of course, a symbolic adoption, since nobody would ever suggest that any of these cats would make good pets. In fact, none of them would make good pets at all. They would be terrible pets.
But there is a couple that has wolves as pets. I'm sure you've read about this in the Los Angeles Times.
Well, there actually are a number of people who have had wolves as pets, and, you know, they don't make good pets either. Wildlife these are creatures that deserve to live in the wild. And if for some reason they can't, then, you know, certain arrangements need to be made so that they can have a wonderful life.
Well,
and
I think a lot of people, especially if they look at cheetahs and bobcats, if you've seen pictures of them, when you even look at a koala, they're so cute and cuddly that childlike instinct reveals itself, and you want to have one for yourself.
I know. They're so beautiful. But wolves in particular, I mean, they make horrible pets in part because they'll pee on everything. They will mark their territory on, you know, every part of somebody's house. That doesn't sound like fun. So logistical reasons as well, they make terrible pets. But ultimately, they make terrible pets because they're not meant to be treated that way.
Right. So back to our previous conversation about a symbolic adoption at Cat Haven.
Yes.
That's more doable.
Yes, you can do a symbolic adoption. For example, I adopted Tango, the cheetah, and I very much see him as my son, my cheetah son, and I spend money on his care and welfare, and I go up and I periodically visit him, and, as well as all the other cats at Cat Haven, and that is how I've first started to get involved with Cat Haven, and that is how I am his symbolic Los Angeles mother.
That's nice, but many other people can also adopt Tango, let's say, right?
That's right. Millions of people can adopt Tango if they like.
That's very nice. What do you get for that adoption? What does your donation to Cat Haven give you?
Well, I'm not entirely sure on the specific amounts. That's something you want to check on the website. And the website is cathaven.com. And you can look at all the various animals they have, as well as the different types of adoptions. And there are different levels of adoptions. But keep in mind that whatever donation is given is ultimately for the care of all of the cats. So it doesn't just go to that one cat specifically. It really goes to all of them.
And I know they have 25 cats from all over the world.
All over the world, yes. They have
species and subspecies, and it sounds like a wonderful organization and an opportunity to see unique animals that a lot of zoos don't have any.
Yes, and you get to see them up close, and you get to see them in this gorgeous natural setting that Cat Haven has. They have lions, leopards, tigers, jaguars, bobcats, a cheetah, a serval, which a lot of people don't really know about. A lot of people aren't really aware of what a serval even looks like. But if you go there, you get to see one.
Well, that sounds great. So how can our listeners, those of them that are here in the L.A. area, how can they get more information about your event on Sunday, June 27th?
Well, one thing you can do, I think probably the easiest thing would be to go on the Cat Haven website and to look under the events section, and you'll see that for Sunday, June 27th, that it's listed there, the event Let's Tango for Cat Haven's Coolest Cats, and it will give that information. And if they're interested in attending, they can contact Cat Haven, or they can even contact me directly. And my number is 310-467-9760.
Great. And so also on the website, I'm assuming if for those that are not in the Los Angeles area and they want to perhaps make a donation to Cat Haven, there is a link to do so.
Absolutely. Absolutely. There is that link there. And any donation is deeply appreciated at any level.
How did you get started in even discovering that you had a passion for these large animals? I mean, I know you have a domestic cat.
Yes, that is correct. I have a beautiful domestic feline who I love very much. I've had a lifelong interest and passion in cats specifically. I've loved animals my whole life in general. I just absolutely love them. But cats in particular have been the strongest passion of all. And throughout my life, it's always been there. And when I moved out to California about 5.5 years ago, I found that my passion for the cats, specifically the wild cats, was even stronger. And I got to a point where I said, I have to do something. I really want to help these creatures. I want to make sure that they're on the planet forever.
That's wonderful, because if you've ever been to Africa and gone on a safari, when you see these wild animals in their own habitat, and you can't help but assume that these animals will be there forever, that is not necessarily the case, because man interferes.
Absolutely.
And attrition and all of that stuff. So it's wonderful to be able to see these unique animals, cats in particular, that we're talking about in their own habitat, and they are beautiful. They're
so stunning. Yeah, and so important for our ecosystem. What a lot of people don't realize is that if one species is annihilated, it has a chain reaction on a whole series of other types of animals that are affected. The entire ecosystem has an effect. So the loss of, let's say, one type of creature reverberates and affects many different creatures.
Well, and unfortunately, it's the food chain. The bigger you are, you take advantage of the next cat in line, the smaller. It's kind of like a food chain. So whoever is the big daddy, the lion, let's say, who's the king of the jungle, if for some reason that next animal in line who they prey after is gone, then they go down, you know, down the ladder until, you know, who knows what happens. And that's probably why there are places like Cat Haven to help repopulate some of these animals. I don't know if Cat Haven does that, but...
Well, they do that through their work in terms of helping conservationists in the wild in Africa. And the cheetah, for example, is threatened as a species. And one of the there are a few factors. One of the factors is that the cheetah sometimes will go into a farmer's property and eat one of their livestock, which of course makes the person very, very upset and very protective of their wealth, of their income, the livestock, and many will shoot and kill the cheetah. Now, one of the things that Cat Haven is doing to help is to help conservationists in the area to figure out ways to naturally prevent the cheetah from coming in there, and ways to help the farmer on defend livestock.
Defend his farm, right? Of course.
Exactly.
No need to kill something if there are other ways to.
Exactly. To find a better way of defending against the cheetah from coming into the livestock in a way that doesn't harm the cheetah, that also protects their cows. So things along those lines.
And you also, there's Tippi Hedren's cat.
Yes, Tippi Hedren's organization is called Shambhala. And the website for that is Shambhala.org. Shambhala is a very, very different organization with a different mission. Its focus is on preventing people from having these types of cats as pets. What happens is that a majority of the animals that come to Shambhala come from some horror story. Some person decides, oh, I like tigers, I think I'll get one. They get the tiger when they're a cub. The tiger, lo and behold, outgrows whatever area they were confined in, let's say a garage. And then the person goes, oh, no, what do I do with this tiger? And so Shambhala comes in and will and takes that tiger, and the tiger is given a wonderful home at Shambhala where they will live out the rest of their lives. So Shambhala is very much a rescue organization for the wild cats, but it's very different than the mission at Cat Haven.
At Cat Haven, but it's much, it's a little closer, too. And I know you're also involved with Shambhala. You have a couple of...
Yes, I adopted a mountain lion there.
It sounds so easy and beautiful. I mean, people that want children that go have to go through years of trying to adopt a child. I'm not sure. Do you want it? A girl? A boy? With the age? See, people can feed that maternal instinct with cats or
absolutely.
Animals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And you do something wonderful for the animal. You support these fantastic organizations, and you very much... especially in the case of Cat Haven, you can help to protect the species and ultimately even the ecosystem at large when you do that.
Well, does your domestic feline know that she has
She's got two brothers.
Brothers out there?
Well, thankfully, she will never meet her brothers. Thankfully, that won't happen.
Yes.
That would be frightening.
That would be frightening. She'd probably be chopped meat for them. She's a little bitty thing.
She is a bit of a thing. She is a bit of a thing. But Tango, the cheetah, is you know, people also he is a teaching ambassador, like I said, and he goes to schools and he's on television and events and all sorts of things. And but he's very. You know, the cheetah, their nature is very different from that of a tiger or a lion. Their nature is a far less confrontational one.
True, but even though, you know, crap happens, even though you go to a place like Cat Haven, they're on a leash, and you have told me stories in the past how you have been fortunate enough to pet Tango, to go on a walk with Tango, with a representative from Cat Haven, but even though they're somewhat tamed, they're still a wild animal. So
they're ultimately, yes, always
a wild
animal.
You have to be mindful of that. That wild instinct still lives inside. It might be dormant, but it still lives inside that animal, so you have to be mindful of that. Because
that's right. That wild instinct is forever in them, and it's something, it's in their spirit, it's in their entire being, and it's something that won't change. Now, you mentioned a walk with Tango, which is an absolutely magical experience. And it is something that people can buy at an event. It's an auction item. So for a certain amount of money, a person is able to have that experience. And it's done, it's always done with the safety of having the animal specialist at Cat Haven with you. It's not, you take him on a leash and bye-bye, have fun.
So you mentioned this particular auction item. So the Cat Haven event on Sunday, June 27th, is from 2 to 6 p.m., and what will the afternoon entail?
Oh, it's going to be so much fun. We have so many different things to offer. We are going to have tango dancers. We are going to have comedians. We are going to have a live auction. One of the things that's going to be auctioned off is the wildlife package, which will include things like a walk with Tango. That'll be one package. other things as well will be included in there. Another package that will be auctioned off is called the sports package. And lots of different things are included in that, but one of the very special things that's included in there is the winner gets to have a test drive with a Lamborghini.
Love it.
Yes, it's fantastic because, I mean,
a spotted Lamborghini or just a...
No, I don't think it's going to have spots.
That's an animal of a different kind, right?
It's a different kind of animal, but it's a very, very similar kind of animal. In fact, when I spoke with Lamborghini and I talked to them about getting involved in their event, I said, Tango is a living Lamborghini. He's fast, he's exotic, he's sexy, he's everything your car is about. And...
Boy,
so,
can you sell a car, babe? Can you sell a car? Amazing. I'll take two.
And you know what's incredible, too, is that a cheetah can go from 0 to 70 miles per hour in about 3 seconds. Unbelievable.
But the comfort isn't always there. It's a little less comfortable than a two-seat convertible, but... I can see the beauty and the allure, most definitely.
It's incredible. Well, I was thinking about pairing, when I was creating the event, I was thinking about, you know, what is Tango most like? What kind of car is he most like? And what I thought of was a Lamborghini. And so that's something that'll be an auctioned item, a test drive. Because normally, not just anybody can go into Lamborghini and get a test drive. It's something where you have to prove through financials.
Right. So that's a wonderful reason to come to the event. And also, you will also be having a washing machine, so people can feel what it's like to live in take a spin in a washing machine, right?
No.
No, that's not going to happen?
No, you'll have to imagine that.
No? Okay. Well,
people will have to use their imaginations on that one.
I thought, are you just going to have some blue cheese, Maytag blue?
Lauren.
I know. As I said earlier, it's rounding cocktail hour, so I'm preparing.
But you know, actually, getting back to the Lamborghini, something that's very cool about cheetahs that a lot of people don't know is not only are they extraordinarily fast, but when they get up to their top speed, there's actually a point at which all four of their legs get off the ground. So the animal actually becomes airborne for a period of time. And that's something the Lamborghini doesn't do.
No, thank goodness. Yeah, you don't want to be in the car if the four wheels come off the ground, that's for sure. But do you know what the top speed of a cheetah is?
The top speed is 70 miles per hour.
When's the last time you went 70 miles per hour?
It's incredible. I mean, think about that. When you're on the treadmill, right? You're huffing and puffing,
right,
working yourself up on the treadmill.
I it's hard to imagine what 70 miles per hour on foot. If I were to run 70, it's hard to get an idea. When you're in a car, you feel the sensation of going very fast and things
right.
are flying by. But even so, you often look down at your speedometer and say, oh my gosh, I can't believe I was going 85. You don't necessarily feel
don't
the
feel
speed
it.
On the open road. So,
well, the thing, though, about the cheetah is that while they can get up to a top speed like that, they can only sustain that for about a minute. So the animal will get this huge burst and get up to this tremendous speed very quickly, but they can't sustain it for very long. So that affects how they chase. Cheetahs are chasers, which is another reason why their nature is very different from a tiger and a lion. Cheetahs are very, very into the chase. they're
kind of like a man.
Yes. It's interesting, isn't it?
Wouldn't you say, hey, Jane, I'm Dick, Cheetah, just call me Cheetah?
I see where you're going on that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, you know, it's all about the pounds. And you know, I was saying that kind of teasingly, but it's true. If a single man walks into whether it's a bar or any location where he might find an attractive woman, he kind of scopes the area, watches her for a little bit, you know, moves around, and creates a game plan for himself. And so he only has a 1 minute to do 70 miles an hour to take advantage of the pounce, so to speak, right?
Which right, to find the one that's to find the one that's a little removed from the herd.
Exactly. So there is a lot of similarities between men and animals. We were all animals, quote unquote.
We are.
How we behave, you could probably learn from a cheetah.
Absolutely. Or go to a sale at Barney's and you'll see how people are animals, especially women.
I know, that's women. Yeah, that would be women. That would be funny to see how a group of men would say, the door's open. I can't imagine men lining up outside Bloomingdale's for a sale, but I'm sure there are.
Well, if they gave out Laker tickets right now, don't you think they'd be there? Depends on what they're selling.
Yeah, probably, because they're going for an arm and a leg and then some.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But the cheetah, just sort of getting back to Tango, the cheetah's entire body is built for speed. It's really incredible. His nostrils, Tango's nostrils are huge to take in more air. His lungs are enormous. You look at his chest. It's so, so broad. His hind legs are incredibly strong to, of course, have him jump off things, you know, as fast as he can, and to really, really push him and propel him, his speed. Their entire bodies are built to be able to be fast. Another thing that I actually found out recently that's so interesting is that, you know how the cheetah has, they're called the tears? It's a black line from the inside of their nose that goes, the inside of their eye.
Oh, down their cheek?
The inner quarter, right, the inner corner of their eye goes all the way down their cheek and all the way to their chin. And that
black, they call it the tear?
Mm-hmm. Those black lines are called tears. And what I found out recently is, well, cheetahs are
diurnal, obviously, and that's nice.
They
are strong but sensitive. Don't you want that in a guy?
They are daytime hunters. So they have these tears. They're there to help them, to help reflect the sun. In other words, it helps them to be able to see their prey better during the day.
I just thought they cried at night and nobody knew. You're not supposed to show your weakness. So. I can't go out and chase something, a jackalope. I can't. Come on.
It's like how football players wear eye black.
That's very interesting.
So that they can see the ball better when the ball is going up very high. They're able to see the ball. Even with the sun there. Same ideas there for the tears.
That's very interesting. I was not aware of that. But also, when you look at a cheetah and you see this cat is, it's crazy, the fur. It's spots, it's loud, it's everywhere. And you're thinking, oh, right, this animal's going to go out into its environment. And how can it slide and be seductive and secretive in finding a prey, because you got to see it. It just sticks out. But it's amazing. If you are to go to Africa and see these animals in the wild, they blend into the environment. It's amazing.
So beautiful.
It is. It is. And that's the beauty of what you were describing about how the cheetahs are built with their staunch hind legs and the wide nostrils to get in more air. That's the beautiful thing about nature, how it's, they're created just like that. There are reasons why
mm-hmm.
you have X, Y, and Z, and it's fascinating.
It's amazing. It's amazing the way the different creatures have adapted and evolved over time in order to best deal with their environment. Of course, obviously, Darwin on the Origin of the Species, right? This is what he wrote about so long ago. But it's incredible the way that each of them has adapted so beautifully in order to cope best with their environment that they live in.
It's true, and it's so nice to be able to. That's one of the beautiful things about living here in California. Here's a big plug for the state: is that within a short amount of time of 2 to 3 hours, you can go from the beach to the desert to the sequoias to the mountains and see the animals and see the nature that which we need to be exposed to, because city life can be daunting all the time. You need to go out and smell whatever clean air is left and see see the animals and commune with your fellow creatures.
Absolutely.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful. So, Dr. D, that sounds like a fabulous event that you're going to be doing on Sunday, June 27th. Let's Tango. And people can go to cathaven.com to find out more information about this spectacular event, how to purchase tickets, how to make a donation if they can't participate in person. And that's wonderful. So what is on your list for psychology? What other programs are you doing? You said you're not going to have another teleseminar for a couple of months. Is that correct?
I think it will happen within.
Oh, within a couple.
Within a couple of months. I'm still working on the details for it and thinking about what I want to be able to offer in this. And there's many different things that I'm considering. So that
is
something.
Good. Well, you'll keep us posted on that for sure.
Oh, absolutely. And in the meantime, of course, I've been doing work with my clients in both my North Hollywood office and my West Hollywood office.
That's wonderful. You seem to like Hollywood.
Yes.
Is there something about Hollywood that you'd like to share with us? How about South Hollywood? Is that a location?
I don't know.
You can have one in all four corners of Hollywood.
Then I would have all of Hollywood covered.
I think so. Not a bad. You got to find your niche market, right?
Exactly.
And what? Well, one of your specialties is performance anxiety. And how did you come to specialize in that?
Well, I come from a performing background. I was a very serious dancer at one point. I actually started my college experience in the dance department. I started in the Tisch School for the Arts at NYU in the dance department. And at the end of my freshman year, I took a psychology course. And, well, we know what happened then. I wound up, after that freshman year, transferring out of the dance department. And I ultimately became a psychology major. And we, of course, know what happened after that.
The rest is histoire, as they say.
Yes, but as a child and teenager, I did a great deal of dancing. I was a modern dancer. I also did acting, singing in musicals, although I dreaded singing in musicals. I did do it.
And you had your own personal experience with performance anxiety?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, it's something I can definitely relate to. As a child and as a teenager, I had a great deal of trouble academically, which very much stemmed from anxiety. I had a very strong case of test anxiety. And in my experience, what I did is through a long period of trial and effort and also going into therapy myself, I was able to address my issues, really work on them, and ultimately overcome my academic anxiety.
That's one, but that's common. A lot of people,
yes,
have fear in test taking.
Yes, but there's a lot of commonalities between test anxiety and stage fright and fear of public speaking and anxiety that comes up in the middle of an athletic performance, things along those lines. There's a lot of common threads.
What would be a couple common threads in all of those?
One of the major pieces is projection. The person takes their insecurities and their fears, whatever their doubts are, and they project them onto the audience. The audience is thinking X, Y, and Z. The audience is grading me on X, Y, and Z. They don't think I'm measuring up in this area or that area. They take what they're dealing with internally, and they put it on the whoever they think is the evaluator.
So how would you guide a patient who was having this type of anxiety?
Well, it depends on what the scenario is. For starters, I would talk to them about when this issue began, what were the events that were going on in their life. We would talk about those factors, and then I would help them with some very concrete tips about things that they can do to overcome the anxiety. For example, for test takers, one kind of tip that I give them is to literally speak the material out loud. After they've reached a certain point of their studying, to put the books down and to talk that material out loud so they can hear themselves explaining it and pretending as if they're teaching it to somebody else. And in that process, you hear very, very quickly when you know something and when you don't. And it helps you to isolate what areas you need to study more on, and it also helps you to see what areas you really know, and that helps to build confidence.
And probably it helps to put yourself in that end result. If you visualize and participate in what you're about to experience, then it's more comfortable for you. And if it's more comfortable for you, then you're able to relax, be yourself, and have access to any information that you need.
Oh, without a doubt. The mental side of performance is enormous. Yes, the person has to be talented in whatever the area is. For example, an athlete has to have the goods. They have to be talented enough physically. But so much of what happens for an athlete happens between the ears and is not something that happens in the arms and the legs.
Well, it would be interesting to have you with me as I watch the final NBA game tonight with the Lakers and the Boston Celtics, because as we both know, there are two talented teams. All the players have extraordinary skills in a particular area. And what is the one thing that will get them through this game and who will win is that mental approach. And how
absolutely. When you're dealing with professional athletes, especially professional athletes at that level, the difference between their physical gifts is so minuscule that really what separates one of those athletes from the other is what they bring to the situation psychologically. And when all of the pressure is on, the champion, the person who really stands out is the person who rises to the occasion and brings their game to an even higher level in the face of pressure.
Well, we will all be watching, I'm sure, as tonight will be the big show. And Dr. Davis K. Bringberg, again, it has been a pleasure. I don't know where this time goes. It is so enjoyable speaking to you about all your passions and your work. I want to thank you again for being on the show, and I want to mention again that you are hosting a fundraiser on Sunday, June 27th from 2 to 6 p.m. in Los Angeles, that people can go to cathaven.com to find out more information about how to participate and to donate, and or they can contact you at 310-467-9760 or Dr. Davis, DAVISK_Brimberg, BRIMBERG, at yahoo.com. Thank you so much, Davis, for joining us.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much, Lauren, for having me on your show. It's always delightful to be here and to be a part of your program.
You are welcome, and I'm sure we will keep in touch. So please join me next time for another wild and crazy journey in someone else's shoes, as my mystery guest will be Mrs. Lauren Leibowitz. And thank you all so very much for joining me today and listening to How to Be Comfortable in Your Own Shoes. We'll see you next time, and I look forward to helping you find comfort in your own shoes.